before I start the talk, I want to address a little bit about what happened in Orlando, Florida, and I want to ask you all to know, for those victims and their families, peace of mind and heart, surrounding them and lifting up in light and in love, knowing that the truth of who they are is eternal life, and that as they move from this life experience to the next life experience, that God is good and God is there. We hold them in love, and so it is. And so I just want to remind you that our practitioners are here to pray with and for you as well. And so we would invite you either to fill out a prayer request form or to tap one of our practitioners on the shoulder after service and ask them for a 1 minute miracle. They're happy to laser in and know the truth for you in whatever might be heavy on your heart or on whatever joy you might want to share as well. So the reason I specially requested this song that was just sung as our special music is I wanted to talk about the reason behind that song. There was a little boy in South Africa. His name was Nkosi Johnson. He was born with HIV, and he died at the age of 12 in 2001. He was the longest surviving child at the time of his death in the country. And he was posthumously awarded the Kids' Rights Foundation's International Children's Peace Prize in Rome in November 2001. Now, his mother was HIV positive, and so when he was born, he too was HIV positive. And unlike many of the children that were born at that time, he lived beyond the age of 2 years old. And that was quite unusual at that time. And so as the disease began to take its toll on its mother, they moved into a support center. And there he met Mrs. Johnson, who had some experience in her personal life with AIDS. And she, as his mother got sicker and sicker, took him on as her foster child, hence the name Nkosi Johnson, which was not his birth name. And she said, all I could do was reach out to him. And he said, I knew she loved me and I loved her. And when she enrolled him in school, in the paperwork, it asked if he had any health issues, and she wrote that he had AIDS. And so the school at that point was not going to admit him. Well, there's a law in South Africa that says any child, any person is entitled to go to school regardless of an illness. And so they made gigantic steps in this child being admitted to school, where he was treated as a person and not as a statistic. And so amazingly, I want you to think about this. He was 11 years old, and in 2000, he got an opportunity to speak at the International AIDS Conference, and he also got an opportunity to speak to the delegates. And he said, my name is Nkosi Johnson. I am 11 years old, and I have full-blown AIDS. I was born HIV positive. And he finished his speech with these words, care for us and accept us. We are all human beings. We are normal. We have hands. We have feet. We can feel. We can talk. We can walk. And we have needs just like everyone else. Don't be afraid of us. We are all the same. And I don't know, that really moved me that he, 11 years old, continued to fight, and because of him, the children in South Africa had an opportunity to go to school, and some of the fear and the mystery behind AIDS was lifted worldwide, not just in South Africa. And so some unity people wrote that song, and do all you can with what you have, in the time you have, in the place you are. Do all you can. And the reason I'm telling you this story is to tell you what an impact some little 11-year-old boy in South Africa had on the whole entire world. Who'd have thought? You know, who'd have thought he was 11 years old and he gave a face to AIDS? And they created a foundation called Nkosi's Haven. And on their website, he says, "We ensure that our residents learn to live with AIDS and not to die from it." Now, to me, that's just an amazing, amazing thing. Do all you can with what you have. Ernest Holmes tells us, we believe that we are surrounded by this creative mind which receives the direct impress of our thoughts and acts upon us. And I'm guessing that each and every one of us might have a few fears, a few phobias, a few concerns, a few yeah buts. And yet, just like this 11-year-old boy, each one of us has an opportunity to create more good in our world. Each one of us. When we move beyond our limitations, when we untie the knots of fear and doubt that keep us stuck where we are, we can be an instrument for good. You and I, we can be an instrument for good. We can be an instrument for change. And so what are some of the unconscious and conscious thoughts that may have you stuck where you are, that may cause some discord in your life? Well, I know a few of the real general ones. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, who am I to be able to do that? What? What am I supposed to do? Well, we have to remember that discord isn't always bad, is it? It's an impetus for us. It moves us on. It moves us to doing greater and better things. It has a positive side. It brings about change. Now, I want you to think about this. It's easy to look at other people and see the law of cause and effect in action, isn't it? Yeah, you know, I know why that happened to him. And it's easy to see the good things in our lives and say, well, I was the cause and this is the effect, right? It's not too hard to do that. But for me personally, it can be pretty difficult with some of the icky stuff to think that perhaps something I thought, said, did, proposed, might have helped to create whatever it is that's happening to me. Whatever it is that's happening to me that I have difficulty dealing with, it's harder for me then to say, oh yeah, cause and effect. Interesting, isn't it? The good things I have no problem with. The other stuff, maybe not so much fun. In the Science of Mind textbook on page 225, it says, back of nearly every discord or disorder, there is some subjective, complex, or mental knot that needs to be untied. Generally, some suppressed emotions, which perhaps is centered around affections, the likes and the dislikes, the loves and the passion, and everything that goes with them. These knots must be untied, and it is the business of the practitioner to untie them. Now, he's not talking here about our licensed practitioners, although they can help with that process, but what he's talking about is each and every one of us who does some kind of spiritual practice, who prays, who meditates, who reads spiritual books, each and every one of us who has seen something that we have created, each and every one of us who manifests something, we're all practitioners. From the glossary of the Science of Mind text, it says, a practitioner is one who practices mental and spiritual healing and demonstrates for other than physical healing. The practitioner is one that realizes that man is born of spirit and not matter. Spirit is changeless, perfect, and complete. He or she realizes this until they become a living embodiment of perfection. And the patient often is not, is me or you. We are our own patients. Not saying we don't treat for other people or pray for other people or hold other people up in high consciousness. But each one of us gets to be our own patient, and we get to choose, and we get to practice, and we get to be. And I don't know about you, but I want to choose freedom. I want to choose freedom to be the truth of who I can be. I want to choose to be free. Freedom is our birthright. Decide it. Choose it. Free of doubt, free of fear, free of discord, free to live life fully. In this thing called life, Ernest Holmes tells us that the gift of life has already been given to us. The gift of life has already been given to us. It is up to us, you and I, to choose to accept or to receive what it is that life has to offer. It is to us to believe it. It is up to us to choose it. It is up to us to live it. It is up to us to be the best that we can be. Do what you can with what you have. Yes, free to live life fully. It is up to us to choose freedom rather than thoughts that restrict and bind us, that tie us up, if you will. When we choose, and some of us do, choose thoughts that are limited and restrictive, it outpictures back to us, doesn't it? We restrict the good that comes into our life. The law of life is a mirror that reflects back to us what we put into it, and what are you putting into it? We are limited only by our own thoughts. We are the ones who tie those knots. We tie the knots, and guess what? We are the ones that can untie them, and we do that through our spiritual practices. We practice, practice, practice. Your good is knocking. Can you hear it? Your good is knocking at your door. All you have to do is open the door and allow it in. Open the door and allow it in. Are you ready to untie those knots that keep you in that limited space? Or are you ready to untie those knots, throw open wide the door, and allow that all the good that God has for us into our lives right here and right now? Are you ready to untie the knots that keep you in a life of limitation? Are you ready to embrace God and your wholeness? When we remember that our life is made up of the sum total of our thoughts, conscious and unconscious, as well as what we've inherited from our family of origin, some of it very good, some of it not so hot. Well, at least my family of origin. And some of it we get from race thought, and by that I mean human race consciousness. What is accepted by the human race? You know, we were talking earlier this morning about we get numb sometimes from all the news and all the violence and all the stuff that happens. And we just expect it to be the norm, and we need to move above and beyond that. We need to affirm the good that we want in our world. We need to understand that in addition to this physical self, we have a spiritual self, and it's our job, it's our duty, it's our right, it's our power to embrace that spiritual self, to bring it forth, to allow ourselves to be filled with harmony as we untie the knots that limit us. We can be filled with harmony. We can be filled with success. And we can experience good in our lives today. We can read, we can study, we can meditate. There's all kinds of things that we can do to help untie those knots. And those things tend to calm us, don't they? They tend to make us feel better about ourselves. They tend to give us some poise and some confidence about who and what we are and what we can achieve. Do what you can with what you have, right? Remember that the law operates on what it receives. It does not filter it. It does not filter it. So as we do our spiritual practices, as we read these books, as we pray, as we meditate, we get to choose what we're thinking. We get to choose what we're thinking. Because where we put our attention is what we get. Picture yourself, if you will, on an island in the middle of an ocean. You're on an island in the middle of the ocean, and that ocean is the untroubled waters of life. Heaven on earth. You're on an island in the middle of the ocean, and you can drink freely of these waters. But remember, you're the one that has to do the drinking. Someone else can't do it for you. You are the one that has to make the choice. It's up to you. It's up to me. What do I want in my life? I can hold up the cup of acceptance if that's what I choose to do and allow God to fill it up till it runs over. Or I can choose not to. Which one will you pick? Our hearts are filled, every one of us. Our hearts are filled with light and love because God resides in there. The key is to untie the knots that keep it hidden inside and allow it to outpicture in your life. Allow the truth of who you are to be your life, your heaven on earth today. If you think about it, the mind of God is in every atom, every cell, every fiber of your being. God is there. If God is everywhere present, it can be no other way, right? God is always there. It's the principle of perfection that is within you. And as we teach our mind to believe the truth of who we are, spirit, whole, perfect, and complete, we untie those knots and we allow that truth of being to come forward. It manifests in us and it urges us on, doesn't it? If we stop and we listen to that inner voice, that inner calling, it moves us forward. It keeps saying, yes, you can. Yes, you are. When we consciously choose freedom from discord for us personally, when I choose freedom from discord for me personally, I am choosing it to outpicture in my world. So when I choose it for me, I choose it globally. When you choose it for you, you choose it globally. Don't you want to do that? Choose freedom from discord. For everyone, remember, as within, so without. How many times have we heard that? As within, so without. So look at your inner work and what you're doing. I'm sure all of you have taken some spiritual classes, read some spiritual books, gone to some workshops, done some prayer, done some visioning, done some meditation, maybe some spiritual counseling. Maybe we've had some treatments. Maybe we do our own treatments. But all of us have an opportunity to commune with the divine. And when we do that, it is like pouring fresh water into the stagnant pool. And if enough people pour enough water into that pool, you're going to displace what's stagnant and allow it to be pure and clean. we must keep practicing. That's our job. Ernest says in the Science of Mind textbook, right thought, constantly poured into consciousness, will eventually purify it. Discord might be likened to a bottle of impure water. Healing might be likened to the process of dropping pure water into the bottle, a drop at a time, until the whole is clean and pure. Someone might ask why the bottle could not be turned upside down and at once drain all the impurities. Well, sometimes that happens, but not often. Meanwhile, a drop at a time will eventually eliminate the impurities and produce a healing. And isn't that what we're about? We're about healing ourselves and healing the earth, healing the world, one drop at a time, one step at a time, one day at a time. Very patiently we move forward, untying the knots, releasing what is holding us back, embracing the truth of our being, embracing our good, embracing our freedom to choose, embracing the divine within each one of us. Patiently, we learn to use our power gracefully, joyfully, and elegantly. And we get to use the KISS principle. Ah, keep it simple, sweetheart. Practice the principles, practice the principles, practice the principles until you can demonstrate the very best in your life. Keep untying the knots and letting go of what no longer serves you, what no longer works, letting go of what limits you, and don't stop. You never know what blessing is just right around the corner. Just right around the corner. God loves you, and so do I. And so your homework for this week is to identify one knot and to untie it. Bless it and release it. Do all you can with what you have in the time you have. Do all you can. So I'd like you to repeat this affirmation with me. I live in divine harmony. Today and always.
Today and always.
And so it is. So let us pray.